This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much. And the first change in paradigm is my job title, as you've seen. Since agreeing to do the conference, we've been through a big restructure in Essex County Council. No doubt many of you are doing the same thing. I now lead on corporate policy strategy and partnerships at the County Council. I'm going to talk to you a bit about, from the perspective of a big two-tier authority, what localism looks like, feels like, and how we think we can help to make it a reality. So this is David Cameron on Monday this week talking about the new Open Public Services white paper. I think, you know, we've heard a lot of talk from the coalition about localism, devolution, decentralisation. Whitehall doesn't know best anymore. And I think there is a certain amount of cynicism, if it's fair to say, amongst the local government sector and other public services and the voluntary sector about to what extent is that a true statement of fact, and how will it actually play out in reality. But I want you to try and suspend cynicism for the purposes of this session, because I do believe there's a huge opportunity for us in leading what would be a radical transformation of public services. We absolutely have a key role to play, but if we don't do that with our communities, we'll certainly fail. My title of my presentation talks about meetings. We all know that the public sector has probably had a bad press over the years about the kind of meetings culture, and I think sometimes unfairly, because actually people do need to kind of come together and talk about stuff in order to make improvements and change things. But in Essex, it's fair to say that when we started thinking about what does it actually look like, this was a sort of partial map of the world, we like to call it, of partnerships that we would associate around the LSP in Essex. And you can't read it, I know, which is partly deliberate. But essentially, you've got a kind of scaled, spatial scale from the top countywide down to more local at the bottom. And they're split across six themes which are associated with our local strategic partnership, the Essex partnership, and our community strategy in the LAA. The truth is, I think, that we can't actually afford to have so many meetings going on anymore. And for the County Council's perspective, I know that our leader mentioned at one of our recent LSP meetings that we've got highways officers going along to have meetings, you know, 400 or 500 times a year in order to be represented and to enable partnerships locally, countywide, regionally and nationally to understand what's going on and help them to influence what's happening. Which kind of seemed like a good idea. But actually, of course, it's probably not the most effective way to ensure that local communities are engaged with and influencing the way in which decisions are taken in the county. Another little aside around partnerships and how they kind of have incrementally built up over the years. Our Children's Trust arrangements, which are, you know, excellent partnership, doing some really important work. So I'm not knocking the partnership, but I would say, you know, when I heard that the RSPCA have a regular seat on the board a few years ago, I had to question, well, what is the RSPCA doing going along to the Children's Trust board meetings countywide? And I was told that, well, clearly there is an association between families that might abuse pets and families that could be abusing children. And so logically, we need to have the RSPCA around the table to ensure that we cover this off. But I don't think actually the best way to achieve that, to ensure those insights from people looking after animals and pets around our county, is best achieved by them sitting through a sort of three-hour partnership meeting every couple of months. So we need to find a much more effective way of working. We also need to deal with this kind of top-down thing. So this is how it has felt over the last few years. This is actually a kind of slide showing funding, if you like, and how it kind of gradually gets siphoned off as you come down the chain towards what ultimately is local communities. And again, a bit of cynicism. You can put your own annotations against which element of the part of the diagram you think the toilet should be. But the point is, you know, there is a lot of waste in the system. And as soon as we look in detail at that, we can understand how we can reduce that and how we can save an awful lot of money and produce better outcomes. The localism bill, I'm not going to go through this, but I think just to say, it's been mentioned a few times already this morning, this is a what's called a wordy. You can basically put the text of the localism bill into this piece of software, and it churns out the bigger the words, as you'd probably expect, the more often they appear in the document. I don't think it's too much of a problem that the word chapter comes up a lot. You might expect that. But the fact that authority, act, secretary of state, you know, these big words actually feel a little bit more high up, if you like, centralist, and a little bit less local. Parishes, I struggle to find on there at all. I think it's mentioned 13 times in the Act, but community has a greater prevalence. I think so. Again, I'm not being cynical. I just think, you know, there is a certain point of view you might have about how localism is defined. Again, it came up earlier on, and I think the point is, for me, working in a big strategic authority, what our view of localism might be is probably quite different to what any, you know, an individual, a family, a community group, a parish council, a district. We all have a different perspective on localism, and the government clearly has its own one. I guess the point about, for me, about localism is how we actually can let go a bit. And I guess that's what Open Public Services is about. These are the sort of principles that were outlined this week in the paper. And, you know, I think we absolutely would go along with those. It's, you know, decentralisation and localism is something we have been talking about for a long time. When we had our local area agreement in Essex, it was articulated from the bottom up based on district-level targets when we had LAA 2. Whereas the first LAA was very much county-wide targets, no real understanding offered from that document about how local communities and partners could really engage and play a role in that. And so, you know, that was a big improvement and achieved an awful lot of good stuff. But we're talking about a much more radical shift now. This locally-led future, the idea of barn-raising, how do we actually enable that to happen? How do we strip out the machinery of government, of state, and ensure that local connections and networks and communities flourish in our societies? But we have a role. You know, I'm certainly not going to advocate that we should take away the public sector altogether. I think members and all of our organisations have a key role to play. Just getting into a bit of an issue here around young people not in education, employment and training, as an example. This is building on the work we did around Total Place going into last year. And I just put it up there as an example of the sort of experience that citizens in Essex and elsewhere will be going through on a daily basis right now. It shows a life cycle from birth to someone who's aged now 21, 22. And it shows a very kind of variable path in terms of positive or negative experiences that that person's gone through. That in itself doesn't necessarily tell you very much, except that when you read the detail of that, you can see that they are describing a process where the system has let them down, where we've got those big negative experiences. Yes, some of those are personal, you know, life experiences to do with the family members moving on or passing away or whatever it might be, or be taking into care. But the public sector can play a massive role in helping with that. If you look at how our services map against NEETs, the provision of services for young people is quite a complex affair. Not surprisingly, there's a huge amount of provision in the sort of up to 16 age group, a lot less earlier on that we could attribute to thinking about and dealing with young people not in education and employment and training. And certainly when we went through this process in Essex, we found huge disparities between understanding of different agencies about individuals, obvious issues about data sharing, and obvious issues about just making sure the handoffs between agencies, between services were handled better, and that they weren't being duplicative. And there's a lot of duplication in these services, and that's not just across different agencies, that's within the County Council as well. I'm pleased to say we are absolutely addressing that now through our transformation programme very actively. Essex Family is our approach to community budgets. This I mention because I know it's on the agenda later and Tom will give us a good insight into community budgets more generally. But for us, I guess the point is Essex Family isn't about simply trying to identify a big pot of cash that we can hold centrally as a local bank account, as the original press releases talked about. It's actually about much more what I think other places have been piloting around local integrated services. It's probably a better way of describing it. In other words, a citizen-led process of whole system reform. And we're working with a number of localities in Essex to understand much better what the experiences of our citizens, our families, who are in this category of with multiple problems, to really think about how that can influence the way our system needs to change. Because sure enough, it's not their fault that there are, you know, multiple interventions that they have to go through every day. It is the fault of the system, which isn't providing them with a good way of getting the outcomes they need. How are we doing that? Very quickly, this is the public office workshop we had in April. We had a week-long session with lots of partners coming through. I think we had about 300 stakeholders coming to 10 different sessions during that week. And it was all about understanding the perspective of these sorts of families who are going through great difficulties. And we put up these little room sets, a video booth, to give stakeholders a much better insight, if they weren't already working on the front line, into what it's like from the perspective of these families. It used researchers working alongside those families, kind of video ethnography, if I can even spit that out, which is, you know, a great insight. For me, as someone who isn't on the front line, I'm not a social worker, I never have been, but I'm trying to deal with these sorts of issues strategically. And really, when you see these families and what they've gone through, it gives you a huge insight into what could be different, because it does need to change. Another example of a kind of journey map here, a family, a particularly complex one for effect, if you like, but actually it's not that unusual. Two dads, seven children. The status, the number of interventions going on in that family through a year, again, it's a timeline from left to right, is pretty huge, pretty scary. When you start thinking about the extent to which any of those interventions knows about any of the others, it's limited. And when you start costing it, that's when it gets interesting. Because for that particular family, we estimate conservatively, we're probably spending across the public sector about £160,000 a year. The scariest thing, though, is what that money's actually going on. So if you break down the interventions, this is based on some unit costs, but it's not a bad estimate. I think it's probably in the right ballpark. But the 80-20 figure on the right-hand chart is showing that actually the significant majority of that spend is not going into creative, preventative investment in the family for a better future. It is going on reactive failure demand spend, which isn't actually turning the lives of those families around. And we know that actually it's just going to get more expensive. An Essex family is about how do we actually say, well, look, we've got to stop doing this. We cannot keep wasting this amount of money across the public sector. We need to understand what we can do differently. And so we're giving the space through our localities for some much more innovative ideas to come through about how that can change. Some more figures, just to give you a quick heads up. You know, they are big numbers when you start totalling up the numbers of families and the amount we're spending across Essex, across these localities. So, I mentioned ethnography. I'm going to say it again confidently this time. Engaging communities, really, really key. I think, you know, one of the areas that's working on this locally is Basildon. They've done some fantastic work, really understanding this point about what community capacity means in relation to the sort of system changes we might want to think about. So, for example, housing policy, an area which is absolutely key, an area which districts spend an awful lot of money on. A lot of money just wasted on evictions, for example. But generally, a big issue and a big determinant in the outcomes of any family, I think it's fair to say. In Basildon, they're taking that quite seriously, thinking about resilience issues. So where currently we might be housing families with multiple problems alongside other families with similar issues or other vulnerable people and groups, can we think about actually housing them closer to their support networks, closer to their family, their friends, the sorts of people who will give them that resilience so that they're not just having to rely on and depend upon the public sector. Yes, we're working in localities, and we're not going to be working with massive numbers either, because we want to test some quite radical approaches. We can't do that on a massive scale overnight, because it would be quite risky and it would be very expensive. But we think it will be scalable, and we're certainly not about designing Fabergé eggs, which look beautiful. As solutions, which you do see in kind of system redesign and lean process development. You know, you quite often see these beautiful process maps and things designed which don't necessarily land in reality. This is about a much more kind of ground-up approach. This is just some insights, okay? None of these will be any surprise to anybody here, I'm sure of that. But again, the kind of frightening thing is that these are almost cliches now because they're true, okay? So, you know, it's difficult to get the right information at the right time. Customers must be experts to make the system work for them. You know, why is that? And how can that be something that we can all sit here knowing that is the case and kind of think, well, okay, it's difficult though, isn't it? Because, you know, these things have grown up in silos over the years, so we can't possibly change it. We have to change it, you know, because otherwise our customers and communities, with the new powers that the government is giving to them, will decide for themselves, you know, actually enough is enough. How's it impacting on the system? Well, a very micro-scale piece of work with some of these families, but it has macro implications on commissioning. I'm pleased that the County Council and our partners in health and the districts are all taking the project very seriously. We certainly, in terms of the County Council, are thinking actively about how this can influence the big-scale commissioning that we do across the county. How can personalised budgets, we have a lot of good experience of that from adults, social care, how can we have personal budgets for families? How can we ensure that assessment is done in a much more coordinated way? And we're working, in fact, Tom mentioned just before I stood up, the piece of work that the Hannam Group is leading on, and one of the work streams is simplified assessment, and we're going to be working with Blackburn and with Westminster to develop a better approach which will have national implications. Engagement with health, we're working with our North PCT cluster on their QIP programme because they recognise that actually this approach to families can have big savings potential that can directly deliver for them around the QIP, so that's really exciting. And we're having some conversations now with work programme providers about how we can influence the way in which they're going to be operating in the future. You know, how can we ensure that Essex families are referred into those work programme providers in a way that's a bit more original than what's been the traditional approach. Some colleagues from Harlow probably hate this diagram by now. We've been consulting on this through Essex very briefly. It's my penultimate slide, you'll be pleased to hear. What I wanted to just mention is, you know, I showed you the really complicated map of partnerships, and I'm not going to pretend that suddenly we've done away with all that and this is what's left. But this is a better understanding, if you like, of what the picture, what the framework in Essex looks like. And I think it's recognising, if you look at our consultation document on this structure, it's not a structure which is a kind of one-size-fits-all. It is a representation of what we think the kind of key elements are from a kind of strategic governance perspective down to delivery on the ground with communities. And I think the important thing to note is that for most of these structures, we're not either at County Hall or in the county sort of partnership structure trying to define how these partnerships are going to work. They're going to have to evolve and grow themselves. LSPs may stay, they may go. That will depend on localities. We're introducing a concept of locality boards, which, picking up on the point about governance earlier on, will be a kind of model of two-tier governance, but it'll be working with parishes as well and working with community groups. But fundamentally, those locality boards, our proposal is they'll be initially district-based, but they could be more than that, where we've got clusters of districts coming together, in order to ensure we actually have some decisions taken. Because I think one of the problems with all those partnership meetings is they never actually took many decisions. You know, they didn't have the ability to do that because they didn't have that kind of accountability, and that needs to change. We talked about the Health and Wellbeing Board earlier. Our Essex Family Programme reports directly into our shadow arrangements there. I mentioned locality boards. I think the council absolutely has a key role. If nothing else, you know, a council, an elected council, has a fundamental role around representing their communities, and I can't see that going away anytime soon. That accountability and that role that the council can have in enabling, facilitating, is something that, you know, is a shift, and our politicians are going to have to kind of understand that and get used to that, but it's something which we know is probably the direction of travel. For partnerships, back to Henry's point, integration of delivery, absolutely key. Pooling resources, you know, we do need to understand how that's going to work. It hasn't worked yet. We didn't achieve it with the LAA. And community budgets, so far, aren't there. But I'll let Tom say a bit more about that one later on. Thanks for your time.